AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Hey, ACC football fans, it's former Virginia Tech defensive lineman Luther Matty, 2013 All-ACC selection. You're listening to Basketball Conference, the ACC football podcast. Go ACC and go Hokies.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC football podcast. My name's Joey Weaver. He's Mike McDaniel. Mike, week 13 in the books. How you doing?
Congratulations on your lock hitting.
Thank
Hit
you.
Plus two and a half.
Which one? Oh, that one. Okay, yeah. Because there were multiple.
We had a pretty good week picks-wise.
We did.
Sickos, the regular picks.
And you know this because as this season has gone, we're now like 30 seconds into the show talking about how good our picks were this week because otherwise we would never bring it up.
We have to take the wins where we could get them.
That's right. That's right. What's it like?
Anyway, speaking of Georgia Tech. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I hadn't mentioned this to you yet, but proposal. Mm-hmm. What if we don't talk about the games from this past weekend and we just come back and preview next week? How do we feel about that? Does that work?
And then we just go to bed. We'll do an ad
for that guy, Mr. Mike McDaniel, for producer Scott. I'm Joey Weaver. Thank you guys.
Hit the ad reads out of here.
Yeah.
Scott sent a text a couple hours ago, said just making sure essentially that we were on for usual time tonight. And Joey responded with reluctantly and then sent a great meme.
Was Michael Cera. You know what sucks? Everything.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're live, youtube.com/@the ACC football podcast. It is 11 o'clock on the East Coast on Sunday, November the 23rd. We've got some people in the chat with us. Appreciate the people being here. A lot of thoughts and feelings on games that happened in the last, 36 hours, we'll say.
Including this one from Rangers King. Also, guess who had their go ACC moment, Mike? It sure wasn't SMU.
Yep,
you're right. It was not SMU.
They did not. SMU, very businesslike. We'll get into that here in a little bit.
Very good one.
People with us here, appreciate you being here. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. We'd appreciate that. Hit the bell icon. You'll be notified the next time we're going to go live. We would appreciate that as well. Mike, producer Scott's with us, by the way. Scott, how we doing?
Weirdly busy, non-busy weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Doing okay. Pretty tired, but I made it here. Not asleep yet.
Yeah. I for one, am exhausted. I've been chasing my kids around the zoo and the park and the batting cages and just whole weekend. I'm so tired. So yeah,
it's good to get some off-season hacks in.
Yeah. I mean, you got spring ball right around the corner here, so you got to get in shape.
Yeah, this pitcher's catcher's report in less than 90 days.
Yeah. Mike, Scott, anything before we get into a Roback rapid recap?
Stanford beat Cal so bad they fired their coach.
They did. That's going to come up.
That's about it.
Stanford football updates. Let's go Stanford belt to ass. Ain't that right?
Oh, yeah.
I know one team that's gotten better this year, and it ain't Cal.
I cannot wait to talk to Matt Moreno this offseason.
We will get into that. Roback rapid recap.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hold on. Whoa. Filibuster. Do the ad read.
Do the ad read. Use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order at roback.com. All sorts of fantastic polos and hoodies and quarter zips and t-shirts and joggers, athleisure wear. It all looks fantastic. Highly recommended. You will love yours. We love ours. Go get it all. Roback.com. Use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order. Scott, I think we said that they've got the Black Friday sale going on right now, but please keep using that promo code. It would help us a lot.
Please, please do. It's that time. It's that week. You're going to be seeing all the Black Friday ads. You just heard our ad. Use the code.
Do it. Do it. Roback Rapid. Roback Rapid Recap. We good?
We good.
We're good.
All right, Scott. Hit it. In 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Let's start on Friday night. NC State 21, Florida State 11. Florida State doesn't have it, and they're going to lose to Florida, and they're going to miss a bowl game this week. And just some absolute calamity in this game from the Noles.
Oh, man. Nothing like being 5 minutes into the show and having my camera freeze. But
yeah,
you can hear me. So I'll exit once we finish a rapid recap. You guys can do some ad reads and vamp some more or something. The thing I liked most about this Florida State game is the fact that they had the two special teams blunders, which will come up again, by the way. They had the two special teams blunders after their defense got essentially a stop. And then we had the ball bounce off of a Florida State player's helmet on a punt return and NC State recovers. And then we had a situation where Florida State muffed a punt as well. And that was right after they got away with an egregious face mask against in NC State. Was that Hollywood Smothers? I can't even remember. Justin Jolie? I don't even know. Got away with an egregious face mask. And then they muffed the second punt, which essentially put the game away. Because NC State scored there shortly thereafter. Scott tweeted out or texted to us, can't remember. He yelled out essentially ball don't lie situation after the face mask, which I think was around the money. But yeah, this was embarrassing for Florida State, and they can't afford to fire Mike Norvell, so they're just going to throw full institutional support behind him. Sure.
This is, I mean, just all sorts of disastrous for Florida State. What was your favorite botched punt of the final 5 minutes for Florida State?
Because you have options, plural.
Yeah. More than one. On to Saturday, number 9, Notre Dame 70, Syracuse 7. Y'all want to see a dead body?
Bang, 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 you're dead. I'll play the song later, or the sound later, but what the
hell?
That
was good. That sounded exactly like it.
That was quite good.
Notre Dame scored 3 touchdowns before their offense took the field.
Yeah, they were up 21-0 when they took their first offensive snap. What the hell happened here, Syracuse?
We had 2 interceptions returned for scores. We had a punt that was blocked and returned for a score, all before we hit the 9-minute mark of the first quarter.
I think I saw, was that the most points Notre Dame scored since like 1939 or something like that?
It was quarter,
total or in a quarter? So
I don't know.
It was the 35 first quarter points were the most that they had scored since 1973 in a single quarter.
Okay, yeah, and I was seeing stats pop across my phone. I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Notre Dame hasn't scored 70 in quite some time. By the way, Jeremiah Love, pretty good.
Pretty good.
He's trying. Good. He's trying to get that Heisman. He's trying.
He's trying.
By the way, hilarious stat line, despite all of it. Leading passer in this game, Joseph Filardi, 83 yards. Leading receiver, Dan Villari, 30 yards for Syracuse.
Dan Villari.
Because Notre Dame scored 70 points while attempting like 13 passes in this game.
The CJ Carr stat line is especially hilarious.
Yeah, it sure is.
He got more warm-up throws in than actual game time throws.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Number 13, Miami 34, Virginia Tech 17. Bit of a ho-hum situation. Like, Miami was never in danger of losing this game, but, like, didn't also feel like they could really quite put it away. Like, the Hokies played well here.
They also, like, tried to run the cover play, but didn't cover.
Mm-hmm.
So
I tried to come back, and it's still frozen.
Still a great vision. This is a great face that you're making in the frozen image.
Yeah.
You look like you're holding in a queef.
I was about to say that. I was literally about to say something similar. That's really funny.
10 years into this show, I don't think that word ever got thrown out on the podcast.
That's really funny. The thought crossed my mind.
hell? Just trying to make Joey feel better about his
Oh, man. There for a second, I forgot about... Anyways, keep going.
Oh, I can't. this was a Miami had more dudes than Virginia Tech situation. Hokies tried to make it semi-interesting late. They scored a touchdown. And then they were down 10, attempted an onside kick, got said onside kick with about 4 minutes to go, and then fumbled, ended up fumbling on that possession. Miami scored one more time. But it was never as close, even when it was like a 10-point game. It was never really that close.
Yeah. It was going to take a lot for the Hokies to find a way to actually win that game.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh 42, number 16, Georgia Tech 28. Gross. Devastating, upset, not happy. Good showing from Pitt. Like, they deserve to win, and they did.
You can't start the game getting 28-0. Like,
you can't do that, and you can't come fighting back. To Georgia Tech's credit, they got off the mat and made it 28-14 going into half, which was great, and then got the stop out of halftime and drove down the field. And it looked like Georgia Tech, from a game control standpoint, was going to be right back in it. And then for Haynes King to make that throw that he made on the goal line, which was not a good decision. He was under a lot of pressure on that throw and did not see Lovelace. Not great.
14-point swing on that one play in a game you lost by 14.
Mm-hmm.
Hard not to deny where that came from.
That's right.
Not great. SMU 38, Louisville 6. We'll get into this a little bit. Miller Moss did not play in this game for Louisville. That might have made some difference, but like SMU just took care of business here. Again, it wasn't like a, they scored 35 points in the first half kind of thing. It was a little bit of a slow developing thing, but SMU just on balance significantly better in this game than Louisville was all day.
Yeah, Deuce Adams has a lot of Kobe in him. By the way, you'll be hearing his name again later. Yeah, it would have made some difference, but SMU's offense was really, really good here. And the fall of Louisville's defense in the second half of the season needs to be studied.
Yeah, sure does. Wake Forest 52, the Delaware Blue Hens 14. Y'all want to see some dead Blue Hens?
Dead hen alert.
Hen down.
Carlos Hens Hernandez down. Had two really long touchdowns for Wake Forest.
Yeah, I'll say.
Almost 200 yards through the air receiving for Carlos Hernandez in this game.
I'm pretty sure I checked it mid-game, and he had 5 catches, 2 touchdowns, 197 yards. So I don't know if he had any more catches after that, but the one touchdown was like 93, and the other one was like 70-plus. So a lot of the yards on two plays.
Yep. Really impressive, honestly, from Wake to not mess around and just dominated this game from start to finish, basically.
Good for Wake.
Good for them. Duke 32, Carolina 25. The Blue Devils get the victory bell back. This was it was a little bit surprising. This is a comeback effort from Duke. There was a massive fake field goal with about 3 minutes left that Duke would have taken a 2-point lead, and instead they go in, they score, and they take a 7-point lead. Huge, huge moment for Manny Diaz and that team. Carolina all but eliminated from bowl eligibility.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, they could do the APR thing.
that's what I'm saying, all but eliminated.
They are North Carolina. I guess they could do the APR thing. Yeah, the way that North Carolina has lost some games this year is unbelievable. And what a fake punt call by Mina Diaz. Unbelievable call at that moment. Fake field goal. Unbelievable call in that moment. They must have seen something on film with... Essentially, I don't know what the term is for it's gunner on kickoff, but I don't know what it is on field goal block. But the way that they were crashing trying to block kicks, they saw something because there was nothing but green grass.
Yep. It was damn near a touchdown for Duke's kicker, whose name is escaping me right now. But what a call, perfectly executed by Duke. And that's the difference in the game.
Todd Pelino.
There you go, Todd Pelino.
A good Italian.
I knew that name. He's been there for a while. So, that's a name to know. Clemson 45, Furman 10. That's fine. Everything's
good. Watched a lot of it.
Yeah, every snap. And finally, Stanford gets the axe back 31-10 over Cal. And Cal fired their head coach today. Justin Wilcox is gone. So good showing from Stanford. Cal just brutal here the way they lost this game.
Yeah. That should have been all she wrote for Wilcox. That was embarrassing. You're a touchdown favorite. What was it? I can't remember what the final spread was. But you're
it
around
was,
a touchdown.
It was 3.5.
Oh, it was 3.5. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, okay. You're a field goal favorite and lost by 3 scores in a rivalry game against a team with an interim head coach. That's fireable.
Yep. So absolutely. That's all I got on week 13.
I'll try to go get my camera back. You guys vamp.
Professional. Do you see that clock go to zero right as we said? That's all we got.
Beautiful. Yep. That's all, folks. All right. I'll
that's
be back.
Right. That's right. We'll see you in a minute.
That's all, okay. Folks.
As a reminder, that was your Roback Rapid Recap. Use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order at roback.com. I don't know about you, Scott, but I love getting Roback anytime I'm getting gifts around the holidays. So either if you're asking for these things or if you know some people in your life that you're trying to get them for, go do that and use the promo code GOACC20 at checkout.
I've seen the Roback bag show up at my house already this holiday season. I'm excited. Excited man over here. So buy some Roback for your loved ones or yourself.
I mean, in fairness, it could be for the kid. You never know.
He does have one toddler matching polo.
Mm-hmm. I've gotten a couple of Father's Day gifts that are, you know, father-son matching shirts and that kind of thing. And they're all great. Kids love them, too. They feel great. They're cool. They usually got like dinosaurs or airplanes or things that, you know, things that kids love.
Yeah.
Those things are on there.
All right. Where do we want to start? While you wait for Mike.
Where do we have to start here? Do we have to start with Saturday night?
I'm just a producer here.
Let's start there. Mike can catch up when he jumps in. We got people in the chat begging for it, so let's just do it. Pitt 42, the number 16 Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets 28. As mentioned in the rapid recap, Pitt gets out to a 28-0 lead here with basically within the first 20 minutes of this game. It's more than 10 minutes till halftime, and Pitt's up 28-0, and that just felt like game's over. To the credit of Georgia Tech, they did fight back here. It was 28-14 at halftime. They came out and they scored again. They were about to score in the third quarter, and that's when Pitt sent a great blitz, made Haynes King panic a little bit, I think, and threw a ball, one of the balls that he will regret most throwing this season, ends up being a 100-yard pick six that, you know, takes a game that was about to be, you know, a one-score game and makes it a 3-score game again. Tech keeps fighting back and ultimately needed one more stop and instead got Jakarian Turner up the middle for, I think, 45 yards or whatever it was for a touchdown.
And I'm shocked. I'm back, and I'm shocked this is the game we're starting with.
Are you? Because the comments were, we're not going to have it any other way, I don't think. I don't know, man. Like, I just... Again, there was a little bit of emotional hedging and, you know, attempt at reverse jinx on the lock here, but I've said it this year. This is where, when I was talking about it, I think Georgia Tech is rated as like a, you know, a top 15 team by the polls, but, you know, the actual rankings would say that they're less than that.
Yeah.
This is kind of what I'm talking about. And this is the other shoe I've been waiting on to drop. Yeah. And
just took a while.
What's weird, though, is like, The defense, as god-awful as it was for the first 20 minutes of this game, they went 30 minutes after that basically pitching a shutout. Like, Pitt scored on 4 of their first 5 drives and then didn't score again until about 5 minutes left in the game. So, like, they figured something out, which then you start wondering, why didn't we figure that out sooner? I don't know. Lots of thoughts there. It took Tech's offense started really slowly, like barely could get a first down in the entire first quarter.
Yeah.
And I say all this. This is me reacting as a Georgia Tech fan. I want to take nothing away from Pitt here. Okay. Like, Mason Heinschel came back from a pretty rough afternoon last week against Notre Dame. acting like nothing ever happened. Like, it looked perfectly fine. He did what he needed to do. He had a couple of good runs, you know, where he tucked and ran in good spots. Pitt was doing whatever they wanted to do the first like 20 minutes or so of that game. And it ultimately, it just ends up being a hole that was just too big for Georgia Tech to dig themselves out of.
Yeah. He has traits. Heinschel has traits that you want in a starting quarterback as a true freshman, obviously for his play, but the short memory piece of it too, that he exhibited in this game, I think was pretty telling, pretty notable.
We've had a couple of Pitt fans in our comments saying that that's the biggest difference between him and Eli Holstein is Eli Holstein lets mistakes kind of fester and one mistake turns into the next one, turns into the next one. Whereas Heinschel is that guy who makes a mistake and forgets about it by the time he gets to the sideline and goes back out there the next drive like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, and our friends here in the live chat, they're Georgia Tech fans, I would say are pretty rational. But there were some comments that we've gotten on YouTube, especially earlier in the year regarding Georgia Tech, where you and I were not as bullish on the team in terms of what they were relative to their ranking. Mm-hmm. And I think the point that you just made of this kind of being like what you're talking about is how I felt too. Like when they lost to NC State, even on the preview, I mentioned that this feels like, or it might've been last week's recap. I mentioned this feels like a 9-3-ish Georgia Tech team.
Yeah.
And we're right on schedule. Like this is, you know, they're going to enter next week as an underdog and we'll see.
Yep.
I will be picking Georgia Tech regardless of spread because I told you that's a principal bet that I will be making this year. I mentioned that at the beginning of the year, so I don't care what the spread is. We're going to go ahead and you got the lock sound ready for me, Scott? I think we're just going to lock up Georgia Tech against Georgia. I don't know what the spread is.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up.
This is a recap show. That button is banned.
Yeah.
You had to ask me to find it.
By the way, not locking it up, but I agree. Give me the points against Georgia next weekend.
What's the line?
14.5 or something? Like,
What's the money line juice? I'll sprinkle it.
I wouldn't go that far.
Double barrel.
But like to your point though, like I think part of what you've seen the last couple of years where they've made that kind of a close, uncomfortable game against Georgia is that this staff, this roster, they actively put extra effort into that game. Brent Key talked about in his intro press conference as a head coach, we will work 364 days a year to beat that team. Like, has blatantly said things like that. So like when I say that they hold things back in the playbook and they, you know, they're going out of their way trying to find ways to beat that team. They are. And I think that's what you've seen when they've made this game close in recent years. But anyways, we'll talk about that game on the preview.
We will. In terms of this particular game, I'm laughing at something different in the private chat. Sorry. Whew, okay.
Hey Mike, glad to see you got that queef out.
Yeah, we got that. Still just as funny the second time.
I want to re-up
your comment, Joey, about Georgia Tech's defense in the second half. It was much better, which is why the Jakirian Turner run was an absolute backbreaker that ended this game. Effectively ended the game with a little over 2 minutes to go, right up the middle. It was brutal because this was a Pitt offense that had all sorts of success in the first half and then didn't score for a very long time.
Well, and Georgia Tech scores to make it 35-28. And I tweeted something out as like, I have been the Atlanta sports fan trying to protect this big lead. And you watch the team score to make it a one score game. And all of a sudden got a little bit of a lemon booty situation. Like, what's about to happen? And then Pitt just goes up the middle and the game's over.
Just gut feeling with how the game was going. If Georgia Tech punches it in instead of Haynes King throwing a pick six in the third quarter, I think Georgia Tech actually wins this game.
We're having a different conversation right now.
I think we're having a different conversation just because of how the game was going at that time. I actually told you guys I was working last night, but I took a break to go shower after Georgia Tech got the stop because I was like, they're going to go in it. They're going to go down the field and score here. And then like 5 minutes later or whatever it was, you guys are blowing up my phone. And I was like, what happened? And then you said, hey, it's getting 100 yards the other way. I was like, oh, no. And yeah. I went back and watched the replay once I got back to my computer. And I was like, oh, this was like a really bad decision. Like, he was under pressure and just.
Yeah.
That was
you understand how he made that decision. It's not like
I do.
He had time and just threw it straight into a defender's chest, you know.
Like, right. It was under pressure for sure.
Kind of panicked, didn't see the guy, and shit happens, you know.
Like, Lovelace read him like a book. I mean, he was just waiting. He was just baiting him, waiting for him to make the throw. And soon as he kind of turned that direction, he was all over, jumped the route. But yeah, I want to give Pitt a lot of credit because they ran the ball extremely well in the first half. And Heinschel made some big time throws. And they took advantage of the opportunities they got offensively because, like you mentioned, Joey, I think the underrated part of this game and the game story, everybody's going to talk about the pick six, everything else. The underrated part of this game story is how slow of a start Georgia Tech got off to offensively. And Georgia Tech's defense being bad is like not something that should surprise anybody at this point. The more surprising thing was how slow Georgia Tech started offensively in this game. Yeah. Against a Pitt defense, it's good, but like this is, it's not so good that like you can't have some success. And
yeah,
it was a very slow start offensively. It took a while for Georgia Tech to effectively wake up on that side of the ball. And to their credit, they did, right? They played a lot better, that pick six notwithstanding. They played a lot better from basically the second quarter on. But this was a very disappointing result for Georgia Tech relative to the season that they were having. And Pittsburgh, this is a gigantic, gigantic win for Pat Narduzzi. Like, we've talked about how he made the change going from Holstein to Heinschel and how that changed the trajectory of their season. But you haven't really seen them get an opportunity like this in ACC play. I mean, they're obviously very alive for the ACC title. If they beat Miami this week and then either Virginia or SMU loses, I'm pretty sure Pitt's in the title game. So, I mean, they have the opportunity still in front of them for sure. And, well, you know, we'll see. Virginia is a multi-score favorite over Virginia Tech. SMU's got Cal, if I'm not mistaken, who's now going to have an interim coach. So, yeah. So, I mean, we'll see if either one of those teams, two teams lose. But Pitt is putting themselves in a very, very good situation by winning this game and giving them at least a fighting chance. And for Georgia Tech, this is backbreaking because this was everything, this game. Because this had you in Charlotte. Even if you win next week, you're going to be among two lost teams that, you know, your resume is going to be compared to, for example, a Miami or a Notre Dame or, you know, and you can have the argument, right, obviously, that you beat Georgia, and that's a strong one. But in a with a committee that's valuing losses over wins this year, we also have the argument that you lost to NC State. So it's like, okay, we'll see. This, I think this effectively ended their college football playoff chances. And really, the ACC title, obviously, is a huge long shot at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it's the if I'm not mistaken, there is still a path to Charlotte for Georgia Tech. But it's like, it's a really specific like needle that you got a thread of like five different games have to go a specific way this weekend. And for all intents and purposes, they're not going to Charlotte. And to your point, they're not in the playoff. And I think that's where, you know, if you saw some of my stuff on Twitter last night, like, I don't know if this is just, you know, me and my, like where I'm at in life as a college football fan or whatever, but like, I really wasn't angry at how this all happened in this game. Like, I'm just sad.
Yeah.
Just sad, disappointed, you know, and I think part of what it is that, and I've seen a couple comments, maybe like one or two in the chat tonight, but also a couple on Twitter and wherever else, is like, it's not like, like if you told me in August, Georgia Tech's going to go 9-3 this year, I'd have said, oh, really? Cool. Fun. You know, like that's great. But I think it's the how. It's like when you start 8-0, buddy, you spend a lot of time dreaming big dreams of, oh, we got the inside track to go win the conference. We're going to host a playoff game, like all these things. Our quarterback's going to go to the Heisman ceremony. First time in 25 years that'll happen. You know,
I think
all
that,
this stuff.
I think that died, by the way, last night too, with that pick six.
I would agree.
You texted us that, and I think you're right on the money with it.
Yeah. You had like, God love him. I love him.
Great player. Outstanding year, by the way, also.
Well, but, and I tweeted out also, is like, man, Haynes King deserves better than this. And people are like, well, he was part of it. It's like, I'm not saying that this is none of this is his fault. I'm saying that that guy has put his body on the line for this program for 3 years, has, you know, is being talked about as one of the all-time greats for this program, and the number of wins and the number of yards and like all this stuff. He has David Hale writing a whole feature on him and his background, and he's this super tough guy, and he's this folk hero and like all this stuff. And he has this one game in front of God and everyone where if you win, you go to the conference championship, and you probably are going to New York and doing all, and to have the night that he had, I mean, there was discussion. I missed this a little bit with what was going on for me last night, but I guess Taylor Tannenbaum was the sideline reporter for ESPN and was like over on the sideline watching Haynes. And it's like, he had like the 200 mile stare on his face on the sideline for half this game. Like, where am I? What's going on? Like, just totally lost in the sauce. And that's all I'm saying, that I hate it for him that this happened in this moment, in this game. That's where I'm saying he deserves better. Like, sucks.
Shout out Taylor Tannenbaum. She goes from sideline reporting to then hosting pre and post and halftime and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, that's how you do that on site. Impressive. Yeah, it was pretty clear. So after the Jakarian Turner touchdown run and George Tech gets stopped, right? And Haynes is just sitting there on the sideline. That's it. And he's just sitting there, and they pan to him on the sideline. It's from behind him, and you just see him just like head down, just not. And I get it. And to your point, he's had such a fantastic career. Like, you think about Haynes King, and he has the injury at A&M, right? He's this highly touted recruit. You think he's going to be a starting quarterback at A&M forever. Jimbo's recruiting him, all that stuff, gets him in the door. And then he has the injury, and he essentially gets picked over, transfers to Georgia Tech. And then for his career to unfold as it did, it got off to a slow start, not at Georgia Tech, just in general. His career got off to a slow start. And for him to turn that into what it's been is really impressive. And he's going to go down as one of the best Georgia Tech quarterbacks ever, which is quite the legacy to leave. But it's going to be a sour taste in your mouth when you can't finish the drill. And they'll go to, you know, Georgia Tech will be in a very good bowl game. I mean, they'll be in the Gator Bowl or something like that. But yeah. It's about what it could have been, especially when you start the year 8-0, to your point, Joey.
Yep. One other thing I'll mention while we're talking about Haynes King that I don't know that I've ever really mentioned on this show, but as someone who lives in Houston, you would be surprised the number of comments that I get when I'm at, you know, kids' birthday parties, I'm at the zoo, I'm like, you know, whatever, you know, at the grocery store, and see people and they see me wearing a Georgia Tech shirt, and the number of people that tell me like, oh man, I love that Haynes King, and like people cheer for him. And some of it's, you know, he's from Longview, Texas. He's a Texas guy. And I guess there's some of these like, you know, oh, Texas people cheer for Texas people kind of thing. But also, you know, he spent a couple of years at A&M, but there is a healthy group of people down in this vicinity where I live that know who Haynes King is and cheer for him. And you know, really appreciate the way that he plays football. So I figured I'd throw that out there. But this is tough. This is you know, I've been a little bit in the dumps all day. You know, it's one of those where I turned the game off last night, and oh, well, you know, Washington and UCLA are playing. I'm like, I'm good. I don't really want to watch football anymore right now. So. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine by roughly Thursday when there's plenty of football on the TV and all that. But yeah, not fun.
Logged out of my shift for SI. Saw the Washington UCLA game. It was like 28-0 at that point. I'm like, this game's over.
Yeah.
Pour a little bourbon, watch cover three. That's what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yep. So again, credit to Pitt. They, you know, they showed up in what I thought was going to be a reasonably hostile environment. I think it was sold out. I think the crowd was impressive on this TV. Stuff.
Yeah.
And Pitt showed up, took care of business in that first half and was able to ride it all the way. So credit to them. They deserve to win. I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh, they were cheating. Oh, they're, you know, Narduzzi's an a-hole. Like what? No, like they were the better team last night and they deserve to win. And I thought Narduzzi had one of his most respectful handshakes of the year after, you know, in a post game with Brent Key after the game. And I think that tells you something. So anyways,
it was definitely longer than the one he had at Marcus Freeman a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit longer. All right. Let's see. Will Secor went and lifted after church, picked up heavy things and put them back. Yeah. That's one version of therapy. That'll do it for you.
I will.
I'm good on this. Anything else?
You want to talk about some more?
I mean, I have no shortage of thoughts, but I don't think the people want to listen to this anymore. There's a lot more we got to get to.
There is. This will be our longest recap tonight because there were games that just were not of consequence that we'll, as usual, pick things up in the second half of the show here. Yeah. Let's go to Raleigh.
Yep. NC State 21, Florida State 11. Oh, by the way, sorry. Can I just real quick, one more thing on Pitt, Georgia Tech.
Yes.
And I wanted to make sure that I brought this up is Pitt was the better team. Pitt was better coached all night with the exception of one moment in the fourth quarter.
Oh yeah. No, you're right. What we have hell to talk was about he this. Doing? What was he doing?
The fake punt that Pitt ran, is, I don't even remember how long. It was early in the fourth quarter,
I
think.
It was fourth and nine from fourth about and nine. Yeah. their own 40-ish.
On their own end of the field.
And the formation was so bad. It was so obvious they were running a fake there. It was
stacked to the weak side of the field.
Yeah.
And then our guy tripped over his own feet, and that was like Tech didn't even have to make a tackle. Yeah. Like that was one of the most mind-blowing, like, what on God's green earth are you doing? To the point that, like, I'm begging for Georgia Tech to make a comeback. I'm nervous, all this stuff. And I think I said out loud in my living room, what the hell was that, Pat? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like, stunningly bad. He's going to get away with it, too.
I could not believe that they – I don't know why you ran that.
Any other week, that would be the Go ACC moment of the week. But there were just too many candidates this week that were better than that somehow.
Perfect transition. We go to Raleigh, NC State 21, Florida State 11.
Thanks for remembering that, Joey, because that would have been a egregious miss. That was horrible.
I've been thinking about that a lot today. Like, I've got to make sure we remember to bring this up. This Pitt was better, except for that one moment of what the hell. All right. NC State 21, Florida State 11, bit of a rock fight game back and forth. Florida State, just a very, schizophrenic team a little bit. Like, just they're one team one week, they're one team another week. Like they, you know, I don't know, man. Like, it is wild to me what this program is right now. And all the bravado around Tommy Castellanos, and yet he's about the only one that's got it right now for the Noles. And I, you know, they just find ways to lose games, man. And especially the final 10 minutes or so of this game was insanely frustrating to be a Noles fan, I had to imagine.
Yeah.
Game was gross.
It was
gross. It was not a fun watch.
Yeah,
it was horrible. Look, I'm one of Tommy Castellanos' biggest haters. I think it's been clear multiple years we've been doing this show.
You? Mm-hmm. Couldn't be you.
Yeah. What's that saying about, like, if the thing about, if Tommy Castellanos is out of haters, that means I must be dead. Or whatever it is. I have not been a Castellanos guy, but I will say, for as much crap as he gets, right, and he gets a lot of it from Florida State people, like Bud Elliott has not been shy about taking shots at Castellanos, mm-hmm. right, and he can't really throw and all this stuff. What you just said there, Joey, is right on the money. He seems like he's the only guy on Florida State that has it, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's it. So he throws for obviously, if you watch the game, this was not pretty. So take what I'm about to say with a stat line with a little bit of a grain of salt. He throws for 203 here, right? He has the two picks that weren't very good. but then he was also the leading rusher. They had nothing going in this game against an NC State defense that's been doing this all year. It's not like this has been a lights out defense.
Yeah.
But Florida State's offense, man, week to week is really, really bad. And Castellanos seems to be the only guy that brings it on a week to week basis. Like, they have not had a consistent running game all year long. I will say Deuce Robinson has been good. Like, he's been good all year, and he was good here. Yeah, in his four catches. He had the touchdown catch. He has been good. But outside of Castellanos and Deuce Robinson, it's been very up and down in the running game. And outside of Robinson, there hasn't been much in the way of help in the receiving core consistently all year. So I just wanted to note that. But Florida State was bad. I mean, they were bad here. The final score is not... this was a rock fight, very close game throughout. The fact NC State won this game by multiple scores is actually pretty funny, because, like we mentioned, the way that went down, with Florida State getting a stop, looking like they're going to get the ball back with 4 minutes to go, down a handful, and the ball bounces off a Florida State player's helmet and essentially bounces back all the way to the line of scrimmage, and
is
recovered by NC State.
I don't know if they could do that again if they tried.
Like, hilarious.
That's, you know, insane how that happened.
And I can't, I don't even know who it bounced off of on Florida State, but I almost have trouble even blaming them, because it was like he was faced the other direction. Like, he's running down the field to go block, and it just happens to bounce off of the back of his head. It's like, what are you supposed to do there?
Well, and he's about the last guy chasing everything down the field. Like,
right.
Everyone else is 10 yards further down trying to figure out where the punt's going to fall. It comes down, hits him on the noggin, and bounces 30 yards back and is picked up by the punter. Like, just that's, I mean, go ACC moment of the year level stuff. That's insane.
Yeah. So that wasn't great.
Yeah.
And then Florida State's defense gets a stop again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that, by the way, they got away with a, I mentioned this in the recap, they get away with the face mask. Okay. Whatever. They get the stop. And then this was on Florida State. KJ Kirkland muffs the punt that would have given Florida State the ball back. So now Florida State's defense is back on the field again. They've now gotten two stops, and they haven't gotten off the field.
Yeah.
And then what does NC State do? Well, after the muff punt, you're in perfect position to go punch that in, right? So this goes from 14-11 to 21-11 and effectively puts the game out of reach.
I would also point out that this is the thing, though, is that you talk about, oh, they won this game by 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Doran decides on 4th and 6 from the 12. Like, you had a chip shot field goal. Dave Doran chooses not to kick the field goal, but go for it. And that's where they score on a touchdown pass to Justin Jolie.
Yep. Good point.
Which was a ballsy call that ultimately puts the game out of reach. So, and by the way, we've mentioned multiple versions of Florida State special teams chicanery here. That wasn't the only versions. They also missed a couple field goals in this game. Like, you know, it's kind of wild when you look at the box score and you're like, how did they come up with almost 400 yards of offense and 11 points?
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you miss multiple field goals. You have special teams BS that happens, and also turn the ball over 3 times. Like,
yeah.
They were finding lots of new and unique ways to not score points at the end of their drives.
They also had 8 penalties in this game. It was only for 37 yards. There's a lot of like false starts. But when you have an offense that's struggling to move the ball, and the types of procedural penalties they were taking here, it's just indicative of a poorly coached team.
Yep. And that was my takeaway, Mike, to your point, is poorly coached. They look poorly coached on numerous levels. Like,
yeah.
Which is, Mike Norvell had this team 13-0 2 years ago. Like, I don't think you got that lucky to put together an all-star team out of the portal. Like, he hasn't forgotten how to coach. What happened here? I can't figure it out.
So I actually have a theory about this.
Oh?
All the success he had with the portal team, and my theory comes from New Virginia Tech coach James Franklin, this opening press conference. He was talking about how we're still going to build from high school and supplement from the portal. Mm-hmm. Because if you become a portal team, you kind of get stuck in the cycle of becoming a portal team.
I think he was talking about Florida State.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Mike.
Louisville applies here too.
Yeah, so I think that's what happened. Mike Norvell is stuck because he was too portal heavy 2 years ago, and now he's trying to build the roster back up.
And he recruits high school poorly. Also, mm-hmm. relative to what Florida State's expectations are, he's not a good high school recruiter. So when you couple that in too, that just even further to your point, Scott, like you go further down the rabbit hole of like, all right, how are we going to dig ourselves out of this? So yeah, it's a mess. And by the way, like I know it's like a whole letter of vote of confidence thing. This tenure is over, Joey.
Yeah.
It's done. It's done. Like they're not, it would shock me. It's a matter of time. It would shock me if he turned this around. It would shock me because what are you going to do? You fired both your coordinators last year, which you had to do. You bring in two new ones. And the Malzahn thing has not been a disaster, but it hasn't been phenomenal either.
No.
And defensively, it hasn't been spectacular week to week.
Yeah.
And they just seem poorly coached, you know?
Yeah.
It just seems very, very up and down.
And there's a piece of me that wonders, is it truly that like the guys on that staff can't coach well, or is it that there's a little bit of a lack of give a damn on this roster because they're mercenaries? They were brought in from the portal for 1 year and some money, and
when things starts going south.
Yeah. Oh, I came in here to win games and we're not winning games. So, you know, yeah, I'll show up to practice and yeah, I'll be a starter, but like, am I really going to put my body on the line to, you know, do what has to be done to try to make game-winning plays? Nope.
And I want to bring up this Will Secor comment because I think this is an important distinction. I don't think Florida State is broken that they can't pay players. I think it's you're saddled with a buyout that is like $75 million for Norvell, which is
they tried
to keep
from Alabama.
To try to keep from Alabama. And I've said this, but in Florida State's defense, like, the buyout's absurd and that's your own fault, but them extending Norvell when they did after the 13-1 season, you had to do it. Otherwise he was going to go to Alabama. Like Alabama wanted him to be the coach over DeBoer,
which at this point,
which aren't you glad you didn't do that?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I don't know, but you're in a really, really tough spot. They're still getting guys out of the portal. They're picking the wrong ones. Like last year, paying DJU was an insane decision. I mean, we had watched enough of DJU, and he was better at Oregon State, but we had watched enough of DJU film to be like, yo, this is the guy you're going to replace Jordan Travis with.
Yeah. This is specifically just trying to find a name.
Yeah.
I think that bothered me mostly just because, like, okay, usually if you're transferring for a second time to your third school, it's not because you're good.
Mm-mm.
So,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You could say, oh, Cam Ward. Yeah, well, Cam Ward was at Immaculate Word first, so.
Ooh.
Ironically, right? Yeah. He was playing a different level of football. And yeah,
so that's different.
Ironically, Oregon State, they had a gap year with DJU, but Malik Murphy is actually the perfect example. Who's playing quarterback at Oregon State now, where he's on his third school and it's not going swell for him
after Duke last year and Texas the year before that.
Correct. So it's kind of like the reverse DJU.
Yeah.
We got a school that's like pulling a common thread here.
Mike, the sound I made just a second ago is I realized that there's a game we need to play here. Noles are 5-6. They are in Gainesville taking on the Gators next weekend and the Swamp. Name that spread.
Oh, we haven't had an opportunity to play this game. Do you have a number? Do you have the number in front of you?
It's right in front of me, yeah.
Oh, okay. Florida minus, and I know how Florida looked last night. I watched that game, guys. I watched it. I saw it. It was on the screen with George Deck. Florida minus 4.5.
It's 2.5, actually.
Of course,
I would have said Florida minus 6. Honestly, like And Florida's 3-8, by the way, like, and has fired Billy Napier, and
they looked
like,
bad last night.
Yeah. But I just, a home game for them, and that's a reasonably talented enough team and in a rivalry spot where I feel like the effort's going to be there. I'm surprised that this is basically a, we'll say like a neutral field pick 'em that Florida's getting the home field from Vegas, and that's it. And they're just saying, you guys figure it out. Smaller number than I would have expected.
Did it open at 2.5?
As far as what I'm looking at, yes. Now it was -115. Now it's -110. So it's, you know, slight differences there. But yeah,
pretty much hasn't moved.
Surprised. Surprised. NC State bowl eligible. 6-5. Got there. Weird year for them.
Whatever.
Dave Dorn did it again.
And they got Carolina, and they might, I mean, that's going to be a coin flip game. They could easily get to 7 and maybe win a bowl game to get to 8. This is crazy.
You want to play America's favorite game?
How does he keep doing this? Yeah, sure.
Name that spread. NC State hosting.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Next very weekend. Good. Very good. Do you have that one in front of you as well?
I sure do.
Excellent. Good. Right. He's always there when you call me. He's always on time, as I say.
A touchdown?
I'm going to say NC State -4.5 again.
7.5.
Wow. That's a lot of points.
Just, yeah, a touchdown and the hook at home.
That
seems like a lot of points, but
that seems like a lot.
But I mean, I watched that North Carolina team yesterday, and it's not always pretty. It's rarely pretty, frankly. But anyways, we'll get to them in a minute. Yeah. Weird, perfectly weird ACC Friday night game here. But good on the Wolfpack. Bowl eligible.
I think of the teams left, the only other team playing for bowl eligibility in the final week is Florida State. Fun fact. In the conference. So every other team is either bowl eligible or not, except for Florida State. They can be bowl eligible by beating Florida.
Yeah. Well, okay. If only they had that Saudi money, they would have been bowl eligible a long time ago, I'm sure. That solves the problems, right?
It does, especially when you have good coaching.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. NC State 21, Florida State 11. We could like speed run half of these, honestly.
Yeah, we could. Well, do you want to make fun of Syracuse?
Yeah, we can do that real quick. Get that over with. Number 9, Notre Dame 70. Syracuse 7.
Bang, 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 you're dead.
I just wanted Scott to be able to use that sound drop mostly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't look like, again, Syracuse had a pair of pick sixes and a punt return for a touchdown on them before Notre Dame's offense hit the field. It was 35-0 Notre Dame with almost 2 minutes left in the first quarter. This, like, yeah, we can make fun of them. I'm more like curious of like, what is Fran Brown doing here? Because
getting real stanky.
Like, some of this is like, is this like an active effort to show people in the portal like there's playing time available here? Or like I don't even think Syracuse was trying to win this game. Like, they were trying to get obliterated is what it looked like.
They're banged up. So I do understand they're banged up and they're hurt. But to your point, Joey, in particular at quarterback. So we've just decided that Ricky Collins is just not good enough to even like see the field. Syracuse paid.
He's not worse than Joseph Filardi and Luke Kearney.
Apparently he is, and I think part of that is they wish they had some more money back on their investment of paying him to stay away from LSU, which is really funny. I got that piece of intel from SI coworker Dan Lyons last night, who is a Syracuse alum, and he used to write at, not Daily Orange, what was the SB Nation site with...
Troy Nunes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he wrote there with... our old Syracuse buddy.
There's a couple of them.
God,
my names are escaping me. It's late and I'm tired. upset. But anyways.
Yeah, the name that came to mind was John Wolford, and I knew that wasn't right. He played quarterback at Wake, so that wasn't correct. Anyway. The reason why I bring Dan Lyons up is because he mentioned that Collins is bad, but he doesn't even want to see Filardi play lacrosse now, which I thought was a very funny thing. he sent the SI Slack chat. I thought it was fun. I was laughing about that for 5 minutes. He said he was really proud of that one.
Yep.
Anyway, point being, Filardi's terrible. He was 14 of 26, 83 yards. He threw 3 interceptions. 2 of them were returned for touchdowns. Fran Brown essentially gave him a breather and threw out true freshman Luke Kearney, like you mentioned, who on his first drop back was sacked. Notre Dame just sent, I think it was Drake Bowen. They sent Drake Bowen just right up the middle of the offensive line to sack him. It was like, all right, this is insane.
Yeah.
This is, they're going to beat this team worse than Texas A&M beat Samford. Shout out Sickos.
Mm-hmm.
It was 3 touchdowns were scored before Notre Dame's offense even touched the field here. They had 3 touchdowns in the first 5.5 minutes of this game. 2 of them, the 2 pick sixes, they blocked a punt, returned that for a touchdown. Jeremiah Love on Notre Dame's like second offensive play goes 68 yards for a touchdown. So this was, this thing was a wrap.
This recap is a wrap. We were talking about Notre Dame more than you are Syracuse. Like,
yeah,
let's move on.
Nah, mostly just making fun of Syracuse.
So yeah, objectively hilarious stat lines on the Notre Dame box score.
Yeah.
Jeremiah Love, 8 carries, 171 yards and 3 scores.
Pretty good.
Pretty really good. Yeah. Notre Dame goes for 329 on the ground. Not a problem. Again, I don't know what Syracuse was doing here, but it didn't seem like they were trying to win. That's kind of all I've got here. And just bizarre.
Fran Brown was saying in the post game, he was like, I know it sucks to beat that bad, but I really liked watching that because I want to be that good or something like that. I was like, okay, Fran.
I'll tell you what, Ricky, it was nice. Ricky had this comment. Mike had to change his pants while watching this game. It was a fever dream going from a James Franklin introduction at halftime of the Virginia Tech game to then flipping over to this. And I hadn't even really sat down to watch the game yet, and it was already 14-0. I was like, oh, okay, this thing's over already.
Yeah. Last one I'll bring up, Will Secor. At least Fran didn't have to make him run sprints after the game, which I only bring up because, like, is that week 2? Like, that feels like it was a decade ago, but I think it was this season. Like,
that was the season.
Yep. Yeah, it was. The season takes a long time. Okay. Anyways. Notre Dame 70, Syracuse 7.
Temple Run, Miami 34, Virginia Tech 17.
Yeah.
Ho-hum here for Miami, much better team. Carson Beck had one more incompletion than he had touchdown passes. Virginia Tech ran the ball well, couldn't throw it, and the dam broke defensively. So it basically went exactly how I thought it would. Hokies covered, though. So
yeah,
do I note that
this is a little bit of a play with your food situation for Miami? I mean, they got out to a lead and then they kind of parked the bus a little bit, and then they had
what
they've
been doing.
And there was a point in this game where they were on probably like their own 20-yard line or something and snapped the ball before Carson Beck was ready for it, and you know, almost gave up a safety. And there's just some stuff here operationally that was not super clean. And I don't know if that's a lack of focus or what exactly that was, but the scoreboard says this game wasn't close, and it really wasn't, but like Miami did not do a great job of just completely putting this to bed with the level of ease that they did last week against NC State. We'll say that. So, and I wonder a little bit if that's a road game situation, because they got Pitt next week, and I think Pitt much more capable of taking advantage of whatever mistakes, mishaps, messes you want to make if you're Miami and not super cleaned up. So,
yeah, allowed an onside kick with 4 minutes left. They were only up by 10. So Virginia Tech didn't score there, and Miami forced a fumble, and that ended up being fine. But that was one of those things, too, where it's like, oh, you're giving them just enough life where if you score, you make things interesting. Tech had their timeouts. Like, it ended up being fine, but it's just – some of the things that kept Virginia Tech in the game here. Miami was the much better team.
Yeah.
They were the much better team throughout. But this is what Miami's been doing this year. They'll get out to a lead. They'll sit on it, right? Park the bus, like you said. And that's exactly how this went here.
Yep.
The
yep.
officiating. Can we bring up the officiating real quick? We don't need to talk about any specificities. This particular officiating crew, though, has been horrible this year. They've done a couple of the weeknight ACC games that we've complained about as well. This particular crew has caught a bunch of heat on social media multiple times this year, not just yesterday. We had an inadvertent whistle that killed a play. We had some unbelievably insane penalties. By the way, the inadvertent whistle, they went back and did a review of that play, and then the play stood a disaster.
And who's the rules analyst from ESPN that was supporting was like, by the way, as an official, this is your worst nightmare. Like, this is the last thing that you ever want to happen. And it happened to this crew amidst other like horrible calls that were being made one way or the other. Like, yeah, they had a terrible day.
I was watching without audio and I was like trying to decipher what the hell was going on with like the inadvertent whistle. And I couldn't figure it out until like I read about it later.
Yeah,
I was like, something's happening here. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny on the broadcast on that particular play, it was like Drones is rolling out, trying to avoid a sack, throws a ball, you know, as he's being brought down, and the camera doesn't follow the ball. And so he throws this ball.
Cameraman.
He throws this ball and it goes off the screen, and then the whistle blows, and you're like, okay, he just threw it away. It's fourth down. And then people are yelling, like, oh, Virginia Tech got the first down. It's like, how the hell did they do that? Like,
yeah.
Turns out there was a guy out there who caught the ball, broke a tackle, and you know, got past the first down marker, except somebody had blown the play dead, and now none of it counts.
None of it counts anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a whole sequence.
A comment from Ricky real quick. Philip Montgomery deserves a ton of credit and a good job after this. I agree. The team has not quit.
Played hard.
They play hard for this guy.
They're just not talented.
They're just not talented.
Yeah.
Not enough there.
I would add the one thing that I thought about after we previewed this game, and there was a lot of talk and concern about like, oh, Virginia Tech has no chance here because they can't block Miami's pass rush. And it took me a second, and as I thought about it on Thursday and Friday, I came to like, Hokies aren't trying to throw the ball here. Like,
not at all. Really.
They're more or less running the veer at this point. Just like,
yeah.
So, but again, to Phil Montgomery's credit, is like he's figuring out what will work with Kyren Drones, which at this point is just keep it on the ground.
Who got benched or something?
Kind of
Pop Watson sighting at the end of this game.
Nicked up. We got a Pop Watson sighting. He had two really nice throws on consecutive possessions.
He's just been on the bench all season.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a pocket awareness. Pop Watson's got a little bit of a, and I don't care. Like, we can start him against UVA. I don't really care. Yeah. But he's got a little bit of a pocket awareness issue that we saw on the strip sack fumble.
Yeah. That
I think is probably keeping him from playing because it's not really an arm talent thing.
Yep.
But anyway.
Would agree. Miami 34, Virginia Tech 17. Wake 52, Delaware 14.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. Dead you hand. Watched most of this game, right, Mike, or hand, all of it?
Hand down.
Hands
hand
down.
Yeah.
Impressive, Wake. This is a functional Delaware team that Wake just walked all over here in this game, basically. Didn't waste any time. Really good showing from the Deeks.
Yeah, I didn't pay any attention to it. Scott said, hey, I don't think he said Wake's plus 17.5 is in trouble. And I looked at the score and it was like 35-7 at half. I was like, okay, yeah, this is probably a wrap.
Yep.
Jake Dickert, if it weren't for Tony Elliott potentially winning the ACC, Jake Dickert should be the ACC coach of the year.
I could make an argument he should be anyways. Like, this is, I feel like Jake Dickert, there's discussion to be had about like national coach of the year level territory. Like,
yeah,
they have done so much better than they were expected to do this year. I'd have to go back and look and see what the projected like media voted ACC standings were in the preseason. But like, it was going to be a little bit of a surprise if Wake makes a bowl game. Like, I think that might've been my hot take preseason was, I think they'll get to six, and here they are with a chance at 9, I think. Like,
oh
yeah.
Want to play you haven't looked at the spread yet, have you?
I have not.
Okay, let's play everybody's favorite game, Joey. Wake Forest is traveling to Duke to finish out the year.
Tough.
Name that spread.
Duke 3.5.
2.5. Good job, Joey.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
It opened at 3.5, Joey. Good job.
Hey, there you go. It's going in Wake's direction there. I mean, really, really impressive from Jake Dickert and that staff.
I really want to know what happened with Wake and Tallahassee. It just, things got out of hand because they're not good. Like,
if Florida State puts it together, it's talent. It's not like they got talent, right? So Florida State, you know, the Virginia Tech game, it was clear Florida State was a better team. Against Wake Forest, it was clear Florida State was a better team. If they get in those situations, they seem to show up, albeit like against Wake, it was pretty surprising that they show. I think our question going in was like, how motivated is Florida State going to be here? And they were.
Without getting super far into it, that thing I was saying the other day about Georgia Tech at home versus on the road, go look at Florida State at Doak Campbell versus on the road.
Yeah.
Because they beat Alabama at home and they whooped the crap out of Wake Forest at home. They also, you know, they've mostly been good at home. They had a couple of close losses, but other than that, yeah. So anyways, that's the only sense I can make of it. But
yeah,
anyways, SMU 38, Louisville 6. Look,
the Midler didn't play here.
Yeah, Miller Moss, we found out, I think it was Saturday morning, we found out that he was unavailable in this game.
Weight room accident, in quotations.
I told you this is when I first saw, Miller Moss had a weight room accident this week and is unavailable today. My first question was like,
did he shit his pants?
Did his teammates beat his ass? Like, was that the accident that happened? Because that's an oddly, like, just suspect, you know, freak injury kind of thing. That now this guy that everyone wants out of there, like, just happens in the weight room this week.
A couple days after having that really fun press conference where he said that that's a culture thing that has to be addressed in the offseason after Louisville's loss a week ago.
Putting a lot of it on the roster of his teammates all around him who are theoretically in the weight room with him.
Yeah.
He was on the sidelines and in pads, which I thought was noteworthy. But in any case, this was a Deuce Adams game primarily. They asked Deuce Adams to do very little. It wasn't really enough. Louisville never really threatened in this game. SMU, this is pretty businesslike. They just took care of it here.
Joey, SMU, now things had to break a certain way. But you and I had a conversation, you'll remember, in early October. Now, granted, I came around to your side of this, so I can't just stand by my initial take on this because I wavered on it as well. But I had a take in like late September, early October that I thought SMU had what it took to get to an ACC title game. Now, the last 4 weeks or so, they've played a lot better. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, much closer, I'd say the last month or so, they've been much closer to the team that we saw last year than they were for the first seven or so games. Right. Yeah. They've been, I think, much, much better. And Kevin Jennings got healthy. I think that's a big piece of it. He's the healthiest he's looked all year, the last few weeks in particular. Defense is starting to play a lot better. Some of that's opponent adjusted. But SMU, Joey, is in a win and in situation to get back to Charlotte for the ACC title game. They might, Joey, they're in position to potentially go back to the playoff, which is insane to me.
Well, the problem is they have one big obstacle in front of them next week.
The Calgarithm.
Under new leadership, apparently, which we're only an hour and seven into the show. We've barely talked about a head coaching change that's about to happen.
We'll get into that. Maybe we'll get into that next, but let's play America's. You haven't looked at the Louisville Kentucky spread next week, have you?
I was just about to, and I'm glad that you mentioned that because I haven't yet.
Good. Okay, let's play a game called Name That Spread, Joey, because I just looked at it.
And this is in Louisville. And a half.
It's at Louisville. Say 4.5, Scott?
That's my guess.
Okay, what's yours, Joey?
Wait, who's favored by 4.5, Scott?
Doesn't matter. 4.5.
It matters a little bit.
Louisville. 4.5.
Louisville favored by 4.5.
Okay.
Kentucky 2.5.
Louisville 3.5. Good job, Scott. It opened at 4.5.
Split the middle.
We said we're not allowed to lock anything up on the recap show.
I am all over
this
Kentucky.
Is your show.
Yeah. I don't want to ruin the preview.
Louisville's lost 3 in a row and looks like they are just trying to get over the finish line here.
They are checking out.
Yeah, they're done here. And it's what, because when they were 7-1, you could have convinced me that they were going to win the ACC and like best team in the conference and all that. And it has just completely collapsed basically ever since JKS hit that fourth down pass in overtime against, you know, and then you had the Clemson debacle, and now you have this just total no-show in Dallas. This is
Miami.
Really disappointing.
Miami should be rooting really, really hard for Louisville. I know this weekend didn't really matter because you've lost to both LSU, Louisville and SMU. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, they should be rooting really, really hard for Louisville next week, buddy. Because.
Yep.
Now Miami's got to take care of their own business against Pitt, which that's its own other thing.
Yep. Yep.
But, they got to really be rooting hard for Louisville against Kentucky, because
sure do.
Man, if they have a loss to 7-5 Louisville, they can also point to the fact that they've lost to SMU, who could win the ACC title. So they do have that going for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that always helps. Yeah, this was a bit of a no-show from Louisville. Defense, I thought, played hard, but SMU just good enough and, you know, made the most of enough opportunities that this was never really going to be close. Kevin Jennings getting healthier, I think.
Yes.
And that's meaningful for them.
It is.
Significantly meaningful. So
it is. I want to shout out Jordan Hudson, 8 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. And speaking of Jordan Hudson,
well, Belichick's girlfriend?
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of which, she is suing Pablo Torre. Duke 32, North Carolina 25. Let's go there now.
Yeah, let's go there. I don't. Name First of all, Hudson. How did this get this pointsy? I'm upset about that.
I am too, as an under ticket holder.
Yeah, same. Duke bowl eligible. Good for them.
Speaking of which, how did the Minnesota game, Minnesota Northwestern, basically went over at halftime? So, speaking of things I was mad about. Anyway,
yeah, continue. You know. Normal Minnesota Northwestern stuff to get into the 70s in point totals.
I only brought that out because Cam and I both called that one out as a good bet for something.
Yeah. Yeah. As mentioned in the rapid recap, the fake field goal that Duke went for with a little under 2.5 minutes left.
Flip it over the holder's head.
It was, yeah, that was, and by the way, I don't know if you notice, if you go watch it, the kicker actually takes like his first step in, like he's going to, you know, try to kick the ball. So he faked it, and it was almost like a counter thing that he did of first step in and then like cuts back over, and he was just nude down the sideline. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Polino can run a little bit.
Moving. Yeah.
Now I will say he did kind of tense up by the goal line, which is a bitch move. I mean, look, die for the goal. I know he didn't want to screw it up. I'm just joking. I'm mostly joking. I mean, but he could have really screwed
players
it up
and all that. You know.
He could have pulled a North Carolina and fumbled at the goal line out of the end zone for a touchback. That would have Manny Diaz would have had no hair left.
Absolute aneurysm situation for Manny Diaz. Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah. Duke like should be the better team here and like was good enough, but I keep coming back to this weird season for Duke. Like we'll give you 10 plays at a time showing a high ceiling, and then we'll just completely crater on the 11th play and like screw it all up. And like games that they should have won that they've lost, and things that have been way closer than they should have been. Like this feels like a team that has the ability to have a high ceiling, and then they can't do enough right enough times in a row to actually capitalize on it.
And Carolina's offense wasn't great here, but it was competent, which is something. And that's not a compliment to North Carolina as much as it is insulting to a Manny Diaz defense.
Yeah.
Like they looked competent moving the ball in this game, which we haven't been able to say about North Carolina literally the entire year.
Yep.
When we've talked about North Carolina playing better, it's been because of their defense playing better. It hasn't been because the offense has suddenly figured things out. It hasn't.
Yeah. Yep. Carolina, by the way, 12 penalties for over 100 yards.
Yeah, that's a killer.
Total mess.
That's a killer. A Belichick coach team losing on a special teams play is like a sign of the times. It's the best way I could put it. A sign of the time.
Is this Bill Belichick or like a Weekend at Bernie's situation where what's going on the sideline over there?
Weird. Yeah, I don't know. We're suing Pablo Torre, which I mean, fine with me. Belichick's not, for the record. Jordan Hudson is fine with me. I think it's funny, but you talk about weird year for Duke, weird year for Carolina too, because as big of a disaster as the first month of the year looked, they showed signs of life here the last 6 or 7 weeks of the season, especially post early October bye. And there are a number of games on the schedule, and this could end up being 4-8, so we're not going to like hang the banner here, but against an easy schedule. But there are some games here that went a certain way where if you play them like 10 times, I feel like Carolina comes out on the other side in at least half of them. So some of this has been like you make your own luck too. Like you're fumbling out of the end zone. We agreed with the call against Virginia, but like you're getting stopped at like the half yard line in overtime
against Cal, I think. And
the Cal game was crazy. I mean, there have been some things here. I mean, you fumble out of the end zone, and you did against Cal at the end of the game, but you did that in consecutive weeks. So there's been some stuff here for Carolina where it's like you play these games 10 times. I think they come out on the other side of a few of them. This feels more like a 6-6 Carolina team than it, especially if they win next week.
Spiritually, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I would agree with that. Defense definitely improved over the back half of the year. Offense, I think, also improving, but like more slowly. Like it's starting to come around a little bit. And I don't know if Gio Lopez is still there next year or what all that looks like, but might have been some progress for Carolina. And yeah, we'll see how they finish the year and then what do we do in the offseason.
It's unsurprising that the best coach on their staff, I think, is Steve Belichick. Like Belichick's best assistant is Steve,
whose wife apparently has a real problem with Bill's girlfriend.
So that's another thing that is. I forgot about that. That's like
there's like a whole reality show around this friggin' program right now.
That was Friday. Well, yeah, you could have had your own reality show, but you decided to cancel it. Thank you. You had one planned on Hulu. We saw the script that got FOIA-balled. Like we saw the script. The FOIA-ball account had it.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean that was two news cycles ago, Joey. That was Friday night during Florida State North Carolina State that broke.
Just a whole sideshow situation here. For 12 months comment. Now, basically.
Good comment. Stanford football. It's keeping up with the Belichick. That's very good.
Yep, nailed it. Nailed it.
That's really good.
I don't know how long this goes on for. I don't know if Bill is the head coach next year or if it's Steve or like where we're going to go with all this.
Well, we're like three news cycles. We just talked about two news cycles removed from the daughter-in-law being real mad at Jordan Hudson, whatever. But we're like three or four news cycles removed from Belichick taking his name out of consideration for the Giants job he was never in consideration for.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
He might be back next year.
I was mostly mad that he beat me to it because like I was going to take my name out of consideration for the Giants job. Yeah. But Bill got there first.
Right? Yeah. He tweeted before you could, you know,
nobody can do that job anymore.
Yeah. Pretty Scott knows.
They did Tom Coughlin wrong. And ever since then, they've been paying for it.
Yep.
That is fun. Great. Giants game today, Scott. Huh?
It was the best type of Giants game. Entertaining. Jameis was fun. We're converting into Giants talk. And they lost, which helps the draft pick. I was entertained. It was great.
I saw that earlier. It's like design your perfect NFL quarterback. And it was Jameis's decision making, Jameis's arm, Jameis's gut, Jameis's like it's just Jameis Wilson is the perfect entertaining NFL quarterback. Anyway, that's an ACC reference. He was a Florida State guy. Trust me. It's fine.
Jameis.
There you go. That's all I got in this game.
Yes, Stanford football updates. Shane Bowen needs to go yesterday. FYI, don't get me started on the Giants.
Hey, Shane Bowen, come home. I don't probably an upgraded defensive coordinator for Georgia Tech,
I
where he cut his teeth.
Very much disagree.
Come on down.
He's very bad.
Come on down, Shane Bowen.
Can I interest you in a Tyler Bowen?
Less so.
Figured that would not be an upgrade over Buster Faulkner.
No. Yeah.
Stanford 31, Cal 10.
Well, just real quickly, but so we don't forget, Clemson 45, Furman 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, we would definitely forget. I didn't watch any of this.
Same. Stanford 31, Cal 10. Stanford gets the axe back. You know, so I kind of threw this out as an offhanded comment in the rapid recap, but one of these teams has gotten better through the year. And I remember us coming on, I think it was the week zero, like recap from Hawaii. And it was like, Hawaii's they might not win a list. Game this year.
Yeah.
They might be terrible. And for all the jokes of, you know, Frank Reich is just this hired gun. He's going to be here for 4 months, you know, whatever. Like, that team has gotten better. They've won four games this year, which is just, you know, yeah, built to axe. Well done. Credit to Frank Reich and that staff. Okay, because this team is noticeably better. They have figured
Stanford's
some stuff
general
out.
General manager and Andrew Luck. We were talking a little bit about how good. Important this rivalry is for you, being able to be a part of another it. How meaningful ACC is it?
It's huge. It was great to be as a player and now be as a GM and watch these guys. I'm going to watch here for a second. Oh, ball!
Ball!
Go, Jay! Go! Go, Jay! Go!
He's right up the sideline, too.
I'm just glad to know
it's good too.
That I'm not the only one that has the visceral like ball whenever it's on the TV.
Scott, bring that back up. Bring the clip back up if it's not too much work for the end of the interview from Andrew Luck, because he is celebrating Jay Green running the first of two fumble returns in this game for Stanford. He is celebrating with Jay Green, and then he comes back to the sideline to complete his ACC network interview, which by the way, for some reason, this was again, incredibly frustrating. This was not a 10 o'clock game.
Yeah. We just talked about this rivalry. To see that play just now, I mean, describe the emotion.
Hard to say. It's a hell of a job by Omar and Jay Green. It's good. Let's get it going now. I appreciate it.
Thank you guys.
That's what that is all about right there. That is exactly.
The smile and the wink at the end. I appreciate it.
Gave her a nice tap on the back too. Like, let's go.
And then he gave her a post game interview as well, which I thought was really funny. So like, Stanford's all excited about the rivalry game win. Instead of interviewing Frank Reich, we're just gonna go ahead and interview Andrew Luck again, which is really funny to me.
Which I don't know that I've ever seen a situation like this where. Usually with a team, it's like, oh, the main guy we want to talk to is the head coach. Here we've got the general manager who's just like walking up and down the sideline in a t-shirt and sweatpants and yelling ball and trying to coach the team. Hold on.
You have to see the look on his face in this post-game interview. It is something. Hold on. I got to pull this
thrilled.
Up.
I will say while you're pulling that up, Scott, it's the same. It's really funny. They're treating it with Andrew Luck at Stanford like UCLA treated Jerry Neuheisel until UCLA started losing again.
Yeah. He was like a mascot.
Yeah.
Look at for those listening on audio, I'm sorry, but the look on Andrew Luck's face in this clip is just like.
You get to enjoy this moment, break the win streak that Cal once had. How does it feel to see this team get the job done?
Oh, it's awesome. I'm really happy for these young men. They've worked their butts off and they've deserved this. They've earned it.
He's cracked out, man.
So much going on with this look right now.
Yeah. Go right to the private chat for something exciting, boys. Yeah. figured that was probably best for putting that out there to the
man.
Stanford ran the ball really well here. So they obviously get the two defensive scores, but I think Micah Ford had a huge game, which helped the cause. And I thought Stanford defensively was really good, especially against Cal's rushing attack. So just Stanford was a better
defensive
team here.
Touchdowns, you know, I mean,
yeah, I mean,
helps.
It does help. And even like take the turnovers out of it, just stopping the run and how well they played. Cal also did their fair share here. 13 penalties for 123 yards. It's just simply not going to get the job done.
Yeah. There was a lot that happened in this game. And I think We talked about it in the preseason. Was like, we're kind of waiting on J.J. Wilcox. Like, when is this going to be over for him at Cal? And questions on, well, do they care that much? Are they going to spend that money? Whatever. They do end up pulling the trigger on that this afternoon. I think it's like an $11 million buyout or something, which in today's world of college football is really not that much money. But for Cal to spend that on, you know, somebody to not coach their football team is meaningful, I think. But I think it's this game against this opponent and the way that it happened, I think is kind of what really drove those final nails in the coffin here. Because like you said, there's the undisciplined, the penalty stuff. It's in a rivalry spot. It's your defense wasn't able to do all that much against an offense that has struggled for a lot of this year. There was just so many things, I think, that all kind of came together here for Cal that were just embarrassing and bad, that I don't know that if they lost this game 27-24 and it was close in a last second thing, I don't know that he's necessarily fired today. I think it's all of it coming together the way that it did is maybe what resulted in that actual decision being made.
I think it was already made, and the win last week at Louisville bought him a week.
It's fair.
It's a fair thing to say. Yep.
Yeah, totally fair.
So I think it was the right decision to fire Justin Wilcox. Speaking of decisions that probably aren't the best, Eastern New Mexico is hiring Art Briles.
Woof.
So
that'll be a fun press conference tomorrow.
Apparently the associate athletic director at Eastern New Mexico used to work with Briles, not at Baylor, elsewhere.
See, who's the AD at Baylor that was there with Briles, who was like notoriously defending him and every moment,
no longer working in college athletics.
By the way, after the Mac Rhodes thing, why is it always Baylor? What is it that goes on at Baylor that just weird stuff always happens there? Anyway,
something about Waco, man.
And I don't know. I don't want to speculate on the Mac Rhodes stuff, but when you see a violation of like faith-based policies from the university, and nobody's really talking about it, doesn't that seem like it might be an infidelity-based thing? They said it's not Title IX, it's not NCAA rules. Like, mm-hmm. You're running out of things for it to be. Like, he's
yeah.
It's not, you know, he didn't get arrested for anything. It's like, okay, what could this possibly be? And then you're specifically citing like a violation of your faith-based policies at the university. Like, do you convert to Mormonism? Like, what happened here? It feels like something like that. So if we see him pop up in athletics again, I think this is going to be a little bit difficult than the old Baylor AD, whose name is escaping me.
There's a joke I want to make here. I'm just going to leave it in the private chat.
Well, you can. The private chat's fine. But we have dropped a couple of different awards. We have dropped a couple of different references to sexual sounds this evening, so if we want to just
please
fire from the hip, we can, I suppose. Seventh heaven.
All right, I think we're good here. Oh, hey, we got it was the epitome of the Wilcox tenure onward. Wanted him gone after San Diego State, maybe TCU. Yeah, This is
Doug Slayton. Hey, welcome.
Hey, Doug Slayton. Welcome. Thanks for joining. Subscribe, please. Like, bell icon. We love all those things. We've talked about it for a couple of years now. Basically, ever since Cal joined the ACC, it seemed like the Wilcox tenure was on the back nine, you know, just trying to figure out when and if it's going to end. And we finally found that moment this weekend, it seems like. So,
yeah.
We get to move on to awards.
Yeah, did we do every game?
Before we did, okay. There's one thing we didn't do, and that's remind the people that all the recaps brought to you by section103.com, the internet's premier place for all things wonderful Georgia Tech apparel, t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies. They've got the Feliz Bobby Dodge shirts and sweatshirts, highly recommended. Go find them all there. They got hats, they got polos, lots of great gear. Georgia Tech, Kennesaw State, LSU, Georgia Southern. Go find it all, section103.com. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. All the official word marks, all the official school colors, everything's officially licensed. It is high quality. It feels great, looks great. You will love yours just like we love ours. go support Steven and the gang. We appreciate them for their support. One last time, use promo code GOACC at checkout for section103.com for 10% off your first order. Guess Black Friday sales going on too, by the way. Keep an eye out for those.
Yep.
Awards?
Yeah. I already said the GOACC moment of the week was Florida State, but I think I'm just going to pivot that to the You Tried Award.
You could, because there were other options.
There were other options this week. So we can pivot that. That's going to be the You Tried Award.
Yeah.
Okay. Goes to Florida State Special Teams. You tried to field a punt twice.
Yeah. The Brian Van Gorder Memorial You Tried Award.
Yep. GOACC moment of the week. I think we're just going to have that be the Andrew Luck segment. It was just so good.
I was going to nominate the Pitt fake punt that made sense and just failed miserably.
I really like the Stanford Cal stare down with the axe. Did you guys see that? I think they have the axe holders. I don't know. The one school was wearing like the Greek letters, like the Alpha Chi Sigma, I think, to make it look like axe.
Yeah.
Well, that was, you know, that's why we love college sports, man. It's that weird stuff.
So, by the way, that was, as I did my, like, in the preview, my whole read for the change in the score on the axe and like, traditions around the game, that was the thing that I kind of skipped over because, you know, it was going on for a long time, was this tradition of these, you know, each school has, like, a club whose job is to maintain the axe, basically, if they have it, and there's this like stare down at the end of every game as it's about to change hands, and it specifically happens like as the clock hits zero. There you go, Stanford Football Updates. Our guy in the chat, or lady, I don't know, our people in the chat.
I was never know these days.
Yeah, our Cardinal representative.
There you go.
There you go.
And by the way, I love that we have a Cardinal representative in the chat.
We need one.
Yeah,
we have one.
They're ACC Nailed. Members. Confirmed. Come on.
Yes.
Go ACC to Pitt for the attempted fake field goal and also the Cal Stanford axe handover stare down situation.
Yeah.
The Bobby Petrino Memorial You Didn't Try Award specifically goes to Fran Brown for putting Joseph Filardi out there at quarterback.
And then pivoting to a freshman and then going back to Joseph Filardi.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell. Play lacrosse now. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Bobby Petrino. The Kobe Bryant Memorial Volume Shooter of the Week.
Deuce Adams.
There was a lot that ended up with a little with Deuce Adams. There was screen passes and quick game and not a whole lot. 12 of 17 for 94 yards, and that was it. Kobe.
Quite bad.
Yeah.
You could also
honorable mention Kyren Drones.
Give him Kyren Drones. Yeah,
that line wasn't great either.
It was not.
That's why I said honorable mention.
Yeah, Kyren Drones, 12 of 21 for 124, and that was it. Pop Watson in two completions had over 50% of what Kyren Drones had yard wise.
Yeah,
on 21 passing attempts. So yeah, Kobe. Kobe. The Queen Elizabeth II You Died Award, Mike. I think I know where this is going.
Yep. That would be at Syracuse.
That would be the orange. 1,000%.
When it was either 28 or 35 nothing, I think that's when I tweeted and tagged the show account saying, I think Syracuse will be winning an award this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't imagine which one. Yeah. Go ACC to that.
I have an honorable mention Go ACC moment of the week, but it comes out of the SEC.
Yeah.
Specifically to Brian Kelly's son on senior night. Did you guys see this?
Yes.
Kind of, yeah.
He was wearing a undershirt underneath his jersey with the initials BK, and the camera zoomed in on his shirt. And then it zoomed back up again, and he threw up some, like, gang sign, basically. It was like, free my boy BK. Free my boy BK. Which brings me to my next question. Have you guys ever referred to your dad as, quote, your boy? In that, like, if you... Yeah, free my boy. Free my boy BK. What?
No, and cry me a river with all that money.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, you're getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars to go away. He's fine.
I could see myself doing that as just like a trolling situation, as like a 22-year-old dude who knows that the cameras are on him. Like, he's not serious. Like, he's just screwing around, you know, and making a scene of it and getting attention. It's great.
LSU barely beat Western Kentucky, by the way.
Which, was, yeah.
That was dinner and a show last night.
All right. Team of the week.
Pitt,
I guess. Yeah, probably.
Unfortunately, Pitt. I think it's gonna have to be Pitt.
Stanford.
Good, got the axe. Choice. Yep. Pitt and Stanford in some order. Give it to them. Player of the week.
Hernandez for Wake, 5 for 197.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two touchdowns. Yeah.
Jakiri and Turner going for 200 yards on the ground against Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
And a win.
Jeremiah Love. Not an ACC player, but, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of which, from that game, honorable mention for the Kobe Bryant Memorial U Tried Award. No, sorry. Volume two of their week. Joseph Filardi, 14 of 26 for 83 yards and 3 interceptions. He probably should have won the award.
I mean, yeah.
So if we can go back and correct the record there, I think he's the
winner. Their whole team got the Queen Elizabeth II Award, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough scene.
We have to be diverse here on this podcast.
We do. And I do appreciate that former Syracuse quarterback Dan Filari had the 5 catches for 30 yards. Because remember, he played quarterback at one point.
Yeah.
We had a Matt Rose mention here for Stanford. Hold on. What happened here? Matt Rose, 14 tackles against Cal in that game.
Sure, Matt Rose.
Hell yeah. Did have one of Stanford's 5 sacks of JKS in that game. Credit where it's due.
I have a new award.
Oh, dear. Hold on. All right, go ahead.
I think we should probably just put the music over that just to be safe. And this is kind of a twofer. The Mike Pence Memorial You Had the Courage Award goes to Cal, specifically Ron Rivera, for firing Justin Wilcox because Florida State would love to have that same energy and just can't do it.
Yeah, yeah. There are layers to that joke, by the way.
There are several. several. If you think about it. By the way, we did not mention this. Cal interim coach Nick Rolovich. Which the jokes write themselves if you know any of the history behind that.
Just any of it at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a really, really funny addition with the layers to the joke thing. I didn't even think about that when I made it.
This is a highbrow show here. We got a, you know. That's all I've got in week 13. Should we get out of here now? It's been an hour and 38 minutes.
I know the awards are good when Joey's laughing before I can even explain it. Yeah.
Fun show. Would have been more fun if my team didn't lose and didn't have to talk about it for half an hour. But, you know, such is life in the ACC.
This is up there as one of the best recaps we've done all year, I think.
It's a good one. It was a good one, I think. So, appreciate the people in the chat. This has been a good crowd tonight. We had a good time. Stanford football updates, just lighting it on fire over here. Killing it. Awesome. Appreciate the people joining us. If you were in the chat, please hit the subscribe button, hit the bell icon, hit the like button. We'd appreciate all that stuff. That all helps us a lot. So thank you. Thank you to the people that do that. You want to get out of here or work on getting out of here and previewing rivalry week.
I just want to shout out our sponsors one more time because they also have the courage to stick with us with mostly my antics, but collectively our antics on the show. I mean, it's mostly me getting us in trouble.
But mostly Mike, yeah.
It's mostly me, but everybody else do.
I think I contributed today.
I'll say Scott increasing our vocabulary today.
A little bit.
All right, let's work on getting out of here. We're on Twitter at FGRS Joey, at Mike McDaniel SI, together at BC Podcast ACC. Basketball Conference Podcast at gmail.com is the email address.
Nailed it.
Appreciate that. Apple, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you go find your podcast in audio format, go find us there. We'd appreciate that. Hit the subscribe button, follow, like, rate, review, whatever you can do on your podcast platform. We appreciate it. That's all I got. Did I forget anything, Mike?
Season finale preview Wednesday, right?
That's right.
Wednesday's good. I'm local. So
yeah. Well, we had talked about it. I think we might try to do the preview recorded. So it might not go live for that one so that we can try to get it out a little bit earlier for people who are traveling.
I'm working SI.
Yeah.
Wednesday night. So yeah, we'll probably just record this during the day and try to get that out.
Yeah. So keep an eye out youtube.com/@theaccfootballpodcast. It'll go live at some point. We'll get the audio out, trying to get it live probably before Thanksgiving morning, so that, you know, if you're traveling or if you're running a turkey trot and want to listen to the preview or whatever you're doing, we'll try to have it out ready for you. All the games are on Friday and beyond, but you know, we'll try to have it out for you. So keep tuned here. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Mike, Scott, been fun. Did I forget anything? We good to get out of here?
Fun show. Good show.
You forgot to beat Pitt.
Forgot to what?
Beat Pitt.
Beat Pitt.
That was on me. That's on me. We'll try to do better next time. You want to come back and preview week 14?
Yes, but real quick. Yes, Rangers King. They're still sponsoring the show. Still use the code. We just forgot to say it.
Yeah.
Home field ad read. Yeah.
Don't have a segment for the recaps usually, but yeah, it's in the recaps. So
yep.
Again, Christmas gifts and stuff. Go hit it up. Appreciate that. Appreciate the people for doing that.
Talk to you later this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to y'all soon. All right. For that guy, Mr. Mike McDaniel, for Mr. Producer Scott, I'm Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you again very, very soon. Until next time, go ACC.